good morning and welcome to week four of the Problem of God series. And as it's been talked about, we are looking at some of the topics, some of the things that people sometimes push back against when it comes to Christianity. They're saying these are some of the things that we have a real problem. We have a difficult time accepting it. And so we don't want to really follow or believe in Jesus because of these topics. And so we've talked about things like evolution, hypocrisy, and sex. And so this series is just not for people who are skeptical. Sometimes people sit there and say, you know, this is for those who don't believe. But really, we recognize that people who are Christ followers have questions as well. And what we encourage people to do is to pursue those questions. And we're not those people who say you can't ask questions. We actually encourage you to ask questions. And we want you to question those things that are in your mind that you have doubts about and to begin to search God's word for answers. And so that's what we're trying to do through this series. And I don't want it to come across like we have all the answers, but what we try to do is look to God's word and give the best solution that we can find in the scriptures. My name is Barry, and I have the privilege of serving as lead pastor of Bridgewater. I'm glad that you are here today with us. When you were young or when you were growing up, were you ever part of a fort or a club when you were growing up? And you're part of an organization that had rules, right? And so the rules may have been something as simple as like no girls allowed in the club. What happens in the fort stays in the fort kind of rules. And oftentimes, if you were part of an organization like that, you had a password to get in, even though there was like no doors, no locks. And for us, the entryway was typically a blanket over the dining room chairs. And so that's kind of what we had for rules to it. But sometimes people see Christianity as kind of like a club or a fort. And if you don't look like us and if you don't act like us, then you can't be a part of the club. And you got to follow all the rules and regulations. And somehow we make it about rules and regulations. And so people actually push back against Christianity. And some of their concerns are real. And some of them are just really perceived. They're not actual things that Christianity expresses. Some of the things that they say about Christianity is what we're going to be talking about today. Is that they feel like we come across as we are exclusive. We are the ones who have the right way. We're only ones who know best. And so some people say, I have a real problem with that. And so my question today is we're going to contend with a couple of statements that people have made that are known. Here's one by Rabbi Boteach, and if we can put that up on the screen here, it says this. I am absolutely against any religion that says one faith is superior to another. I don't see how that is anything different than spiritual racism. So, really, if I look at this, we're one step away from what we hear oftentimes about Christianity, is that if we believe something to be true and we hold to that belief and we disagree with your opinion or your position, then automatically people come down to calling names like racist. And have you ever heard this? Christians are haters. Right? Okay, we got a big nod on that one. Yeah, absolutely. Because really, what's amazing to me is even if you look at the God's word and say, I really believe this is a position God has taken in his word and this is what I believe, you don't come across and call people names. You just say, this is what we get from scripture. And then people come down to say, racist and haters. And so those are some of the thoughts that are out there. Here's another one by Mahatma Gandhi. My position is that all great religions are fundamentally equal. Sounds like really good, right? That's awesome. All great religions are fundamentally equal. So here's my question. Who determines what's great? Does he? Or do you? So even when they come across and say all great religions, basically in the statement you can read in there saying this. There are some that he looks at and says aren't great religions. Is he a spiritual racist? Is he a hater? Here's one of the greatest theologians of our time, Oprah. If you love Oprah, man, please don't email me, all right? She gives away a lot of cars and fun things, so hey, Oprah. Okay, so anyways, One of the biggest mistakes humans make is to believe there's only one way. Actually, there are many diverse paths leading to God. So here's my question. Who determines the many and not all? Always lead to God. No, many of them, not all of them. Is Oprah a spiritual racist? Is she a hater? See, folks, there's times that as we look at people's evaluation, we have to be intellectually honest. And while they point the finger at Christians, sometimes they need to look at the mirror and realize that there are times that they are just as exclusive as they say Christianity is. So for those who point to Christianity and say that they are exclusive in what they believe, that they are intolerant, that they are narrow, and that they're judgmental, I want you to know this, that inclusive people are also narrow, judgmental, and intolerant. So again, I'm not attacking people. I just want to make the statement. I want to be intellectually honest and say this. For people who point to Christianity and say, you guys are narrow because you believe your way is the only way, I come back and say to them, isn't that what you're doing right now when you're being judgmental against Christianity? To say you are not allowed to believe that because it's not right. Is it not a justifiable religion? Is it not what Rabbi Boteach said? Is it not one of those or what Gandhi said? Somehow, when we see inclusiveness, the inclusive mentality of people, they're saying we are for everyone. As long as you believe something, you're good. But when you drill down a little bit farther into what they're thinking, you will see them push back. And oftentimes, they will be extremely aggressive as they push back against Christianity. So they say, oh, we're inclusive. We're for everyone. Students who've gone to the universities. And when a professor is saying something and they say, is there anyone else here with a different thought? And a person has the courage to say, you know, I believe in Jesus. And then they're mocked for their faith. And they push back. See, they want this tolerance. They want everybody to be together. We're all okay. But as you look at most major religions in the world, whether it's Muslims with Islam, they believe their way is the right way. When you look at Judaism, they believe their way is the right way. When you even look at atheists, they believe their way is the right way. Right? Because they are against all religion. There is no God. And for you to believe in a God, you're crazy. So I want you to know this. There is an exclusiveness to people no matter what they believe typically. When people say we are all in for everyone, sometimes that's not necessarily true. And we just need to be honest. Someone once said to try to please everyone. If you try to please everyone, you end up pleasing no one. People who try to agree with everyone wind up agreeing with almost no one. So to preach, to teach, to pretend like everyone is okay as long as you believe something is really not what it sounds like. So our hope is that inclusive people, if you're here today, that you'll be honest by saying, sometimes I'm just as exclusive as other people, whether they're Muslims, Jews, Christians, or atheists. Sometimes our way, we believe, is the right way. And if you believe differently than us, then you're wrong. And oftentimes we will actually push back against you verbally and in other ways. It's interesting. There's a word that's become the buzzwords of education in our society. It's called tolerance. We need to be tolerant of those who believe differently than we do. At one point, the word tolerance meant more like this. Bearing or putting up with someone or something not especially liked. All right? So when you first get married, in your first year of marriage, you end up trying to learn how to be tolerant with one another. Right? You say, oh, we love each other. Until they put the toilet paper the wrong direction. Or they squeeze toothpaste at the wrong place on the toothpaste tube. And before you know it, you realize that maybe you're not as tolerant as you thought you were, right? You get upset. And so you end up kind of agreeing to disagree, and you kind of tolerate each other's habits, But what tolerance has become today is this. It will say something similar to this: all values, all beliefs, all lifestyles, all truth claims are equal. And denying this makes a person intolerant and worthy of contempt. Basically, if you don't buy into all values, all beliefs, all lifestyles, all truth claims are equal, then you must be a hater. In our Bible study with the millennials, we had mostly college students, university, people going to university. And it was interesting. We were talking to each other about different topics. And we were looking at the Bible and we were examining what the scriptures say. And I would ask questions, why do you have a hard time accepting this? And this was their response. And there was multiple people. It was almost a chorus of the millennials coming back to me. Because we don't want to be a hater. Who's to say if you stand for truth or believe something that you automatically become a hater because my opinion is different than your opinion? I said, can you switch that around and say if they disagree with you, doesn't that make them a hater too? See, we've pushed this agenda of tolerance, and I think we have to be really careful. Tolerance does not mean that you can't have a set of truths that you live by, core values that you find to be important, principles that you say, really, these are things that are non-negotiable for me. You can have those non-negotiables in your life, and it doesn't make you a person who is a hater in life. You just say, I'm looking to truth. God's word is my authority, and I go to that, and I come to you, not as a hater, but as a person who looks at truth, really what I examine to be truth, and I'm just sharing it with you. Hopefully in love and not condemning someone else. It's interesting. At Texas Tech University, professor of biology, Michael Denny, he said this, I would not recommend any student for medical school if they do not believe in evolution. Where's the tolerance? Listen to me. Where's the inclusiveness? We had a personal friend who graduated in the top 3% of the nation going into medical school. Top 3%. And he had a hard time getting into medical school because he was a Christian. Hey, listen to me. We're all inclusive. It doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you believe something, it's okay. Listen to me, folks. Sometimes inclusive people can just be just as narrow and just as judgmental. There's a group in Australia, they call themselves Toleration, which many Christians viewed as a harmless organization with a worthy cause. Toleration's goal, here it is, was to promote a tolerance of all religious ways, beliefs, and doctrines. Their major theme was this: we've got to stop being intolerant of other people's beliefs. We have to stop being intolerant of other people's beliefs. Everyone should have the right to his or her own opinion on any matter. So eventually the organization put out a leaflet, a promotional leaflet talking about who they are and what they're about. And this is interesting. This is what they came up with in their organization. They said they were intolerant for all beliefs, yet they were intolerant, according to their pamphlet, against people who taught creation and the absolutes of Christianity. We're for everyone's belief. We need to learn to tolerate each other unless you believe in creation and the absolutes of Christianity. Isn't that interesting? So listen to me. When people come to you and they push back and go, you guys are an exclusive club and you're haters, just do a little research online. Go, okay, so what you're saying is people who are haters are people who just disagree with one another? So what does that make you? People who teach tolerance of all beliefs almost invariably oppose Christianity. So when it comes down to it, what we come down to is this. It comes down to who do you see as your authority? And for us, we come to the Word of God and say, we try to rely on what we see in God's Word to give us guidelines, to be the blueprint for the way we live life. And we can't afford to be ignorant or arrogant about the position that God has given us in Scripture. We needed to be kind with other people as we share that. Because when you talk to people sometimes who are inclusive, they will come across as somewhat ignorant. And the reason I say that, and you may say that's attacking, I don't mean to be attacking. I'm just saying what they do is they start telling you about your faith, and it sounds nothing like what you've grown up with or learned. They start making statements that really have nothing to do with our core values, nothing to do with absolute truth in Scripture. They come down and they've heard a mantra in life, and they come back and they fire back at you. And really, they're not attacking the values that we hold to in Christianity, the principles that we see in God's Word. They're attacking what other people have said Christians are or should be or actually have done. So when I worked for an equipment dealership, you go by colors, right? So it's like what color you sell. And there's a lot of loyalty on what kind of equipment you sell. And we would go to like different events and shows and fairs. And it was so interesting that you would say it doesn't matter what fair you went to, what county you were in, no matter where you were, you would sit there and people would walk through your tent. And there are people like, oh, this is interesting. They'd actually ask questions, tell me about your equipment. What's the advantage of this color over that color? But then there are those people who walked into the tent who were somewhat ignorant, if I can say. And they would walk into the tent and they would start trying to be really cool and go, oh, you know what? And they would start making all these comments. And you sat there and went back and go, and we would just kind of laugh at them because you're going, you're an idiot. Like, we wouldn't say that. In Christ's love, we're praying for you. And it's like, yeah. But really, you look at them, you would just laugh at them because you're saying they have no idea what they're talking about. There's things you can talk about or ask questions and say, is there some kind of hang up in this piece of equipment? Yeah, here's the thing where we don't have the advantage over this color or this brand. But oftentimes they walk in with this ignorance and they start spouting things that are not true. And let me tell you what, as Christians, we can't afford to walk into someone else's tent and be ignorant. Amen. We can't walk in and start spouting things that aren't true. If you don't understand, ask a question. If you disagree, be kind. We can't afford to be ignorant. And when we have people come to me, and the only argument they have against Christianity is this, you're a hater. To me, it just shows a little bit of ignorance or that they're uninformed. Secondly, we can't afford to be arrogant. There are people who have a tendency to walk in and feel like they are superior to everyone else. And therefore, if you don't agree with my opinion, you don't agree with my position, then you are the target of my scorn, my ridicule, and I will try to belittle you in front of other people. Why? Because obviously I'm superior to you, and I want to push you down. I want to embarrass you to make you look smaller. Has anybody ever heard of Ravi Zacharias? Okay. Christian apologist. It's interesting if you ever watch him. He's really an interesting guy, brilliant guy, just absolutely brilliant. And so people walk in, and so he'll be invited to all kinds of different debates. He'll be invited to universities, and they'll people ask questions. And if you ever watch him online, just pull it up on YouTube and just pull him up, and it's kind of funny to spell his last name. But anyways, pull his name up online and just watch some of the interaction he has with people. And you want to talk about people coming to the mic with arrogance. They walk up to the mic and go, so what you think or what you say, and you can just see the attitude when they come up to the, when they walk up to the mic and they start talking to him. And my son-in-law, when he was at law school down at the University of Penn, he went to actually one of those meetings, and he said, you sit there and watch these guys walk up to the mic, and when they stand up there, and he's very gracious, and when he starts talking to them, and he starts explaining to them why where they're coming from is just wrong, and he just goes, it doesn't make sense what you're saying. And it's kind of fun to listen to him say it, but he does it with kindness. And the people will try to come back and stand toe-to-toe with him. And he says, you almost sit there and look, they're going, dude, just sit down. You're embarrassing yourself. However, as Christians, we had better never walk into a setting with arrogance. Amen. We need to walk in with humility. And you can say things like this, you may not agree with me, but I want you to know that God has changed my life. And I believe based upon the principles of this book, he can change your life as well. Do you see the difference? So sometimes, all we're trying to do is walk away with the whole thing with inclusiveness is this. It's really not fair to say that inclusive people aren't narrow and judgmental as well. In the law of logic, there's a thing called law of non-contradiction, which means two opposite thoughts, ideas, opinions can't be right at the same time. I have a quote up here by Turner. We believe that all religions are basically the same. Sounds good. At least the one we read was, they all believe in love and goodness. They only differ on the matters of creation, sin, heaven, hell, God, and salvation. We're all the same. Even logically and biblically, you can't come to this conclusion and say we're all right. There's no way you can have two totally different views and say they both lead to the same path. Secondly, we must respect those we disagree with. We must respect those who we disagree with. In the book of 1 Peter, it says this, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You better be ready when people ask you, tell me why. What do you mean life change? What has God done for you? What does Jesus mean to you? You need to be ready to give an answer. But it goes on, but do this with gentleness and with respect. So when people come to you with hostility and threats, we need to respond with gentleness and respect. When people come to you and disagree with you, we need to respond to them with gentleness and with respect. There are times that we have seen even on TV where people will push back physically and to go to maybe even assault people. They'll spit on people. What do we do as Christians? We respond with gentleness and respect. That is our responsibility. I hope that you will never see in one of our campuses any one of our campus pastors bashing another person's belief. Our goal is not to bash people. Our goal is to preach Christ and Him crucified. Folks, that is our message. We're not here to be haters and to point fingers. We're just here to point people to Jesus because Jesus has changed my life and I believe He can change your life. And therefore, we preach Christ and Him crucified. And that's the message we need to preach. Let me tell you what. Christians need to fight for the rights of people who believe differently than them. They should have the right to believe what they want to believe. But please don't tell me that tolerance, being an intolerant person, is agreeing with them. I can love someone. I can respect someone. I can even defend someone that I do not agree with. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Listen to me. We need to love God and love other people, and that means everyone, whether they agree with us or not. So it comes down to this. It's presenting people with a choice. Our responsibility is presenting with the people a choice of either accepting Jesus or rejecting Him. We need to invite people to come and see. And when we invite people to come and see, I want you to know that you're going to get all kinds of different responses. There are people saying, you know what, I'm right now I lack hope. I don't have hope. And they're going to come, they're going to be enthusiastic because they're looking for something. But sometimes you're going to get pushback. And that's okay because throughout history, Christianity has gotten pushback. People are being decapitated right now in the Middle East because of Christianity. People have been stoned because of Christianity. People have been actually put in the arena with lions because of Christianity. But we need to represent Jesus well. And when we represent Jesus well, it means this, that we love other people, that we are selfless by serving other ones, We give a message of hope to those who may not hope. And we're willing to say, sometimes it's going to hurt a little bit. We're going to get pushback. And if you want to call it persecution, then call it persecution. But sometimes people will push back about what we believe. But with gentleness and respect, we need to deal with all people. Inclusive people are just as narrow and judgmental and intolerant as other people. We must respect those who we disagree with. And finally, Jesus said this, He is the only way. So if we go back to the book of John, it says this, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And as we look throughout Scripture, we see that theme throughout the New Testament. Whether it's Jesus talking, whether it's Peter talking, whether it's Paul talking, we see people proclaiming Jesus as being the only way. So when we look at the worldview of people like Gandhi and Oprah, we have to come to this conclusion. And if you're here and you're skeptical, I'm glad that you're here. But my question to you is, what are you going to do with Jesus? If Gandhi and Oprah are right, then you have to see Jesus by making that claim. By making the claim that I am the only way, you have to look at Jesus and say this. There's something wrong with his teaching. He's not the teacher they said he was. And really, in essence, he is a false prophet. So as a skeptic, my question to you, are you really come down to the thing and saying Jesus is a false teacher and a false prophet? Because what he said disagree with Gandhi and Oprah and Rabbi Boteach. So what is it? What are you going to do with Jesus? Someone once said, Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. So if he is a liar or a lunatic, then you need to reject the stuff that you find written about Jesus because he was a false prophet. He's a liar. He's a lunatic. But if he's Lord, I invite you to accept him as the only way to restore a broken relationship with God. Over 20 or 30 years past Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, people referred to Christianity as being the way. They kept referring to him as that's the way. There's always been an exclusiveness when it comes to Christianity. Because if you say, me saying that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me. Or when Peter said in Acts, he says this, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is a stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by where you must be saved. Folks, listen to me. Was Jesus a liar, a lunatic, or is he Lord? If you say Lord, then I hope that you reach out and receive the free gift of salvation. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But I want you to know, while that comes across as very exclusive, I want you to know that it's extremely inclusive. Why? Because Jesus died for everyone. The offer of salvation is for everyone. The door is wide open saying, come on in. Come and see. We'll take you with whatever hurt, hang up, or habit you have. We will take you. That sounds pretty inclusive to me. There's a poem that was sent to me last week, and I thought it was funny. I was in the middle of preparing this last week, and I wrote it down. And it says this, I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door. Not by the beauty of it all, by the lights or its decor. But it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp. The thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, the trash. There stood the kid from seventh grade who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Herb, who I always thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus and said, what's the deal? I would love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue. Hush, child, said he. They're all in shock. No one thought they'd see you. So listen to me. Listen to me. Well, people say that Christianity is exclusive. I want you to know it's extremely inclusive. Jesus did not die for middle-class America alone. He died for every race, religion, nationality, social group. He died for everyone. There's a song that's completely politically incorrect that we used to sing as children. Jesus loves the little children of the world. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I can't see anything else more inclusive than the gospel message. So my question today is, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Was he a liar? Was he a lunatic? Or was he Lord? And if you come to the conclusion that he was a prophet, the Son of God, who is an amazing teacher, and the principles we find in Scripture, I invite you to receive him today as your Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, absolutely no one, comes to the Father but by me. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for what you're doing in our midst, that you are changing lives. And God, I pray that we would represent you well as we go out into the community, as we talk to people at work and people in our neighborhood, when we get together through the holidays with family and friends, that we would represent you well. And when people push back and they disagree, I pray that we would be gentle and treat them with respect. Folks, I'm just one beggar sharing with other beggars where to find food. And so, God, I pray that today for us, we will see the importance of who Jesus is, that he is the only way. And there may be some here today who are just struggling. And they're saying, you know, I'm not really sure. I have my doubts. I'm questioning. I'm there. I may not be there. What I'm going to do with Jesus. But man, this is an issue for me. I need to really think through this more. And you want me to pray for you? Man, I'd love to just not call you up by name or point fingers at you, but just if you're here and say, man, I'm really in that struggle right now, trying to figure out who Jesus is, I want you to pray for me. Would you just raise your hand and say, yeah, I'm that person. I'm really wrestling with who Jesus is in my life. Is there anybody? Is there anyone who said, yeah, pray for me? God, thank you for what you're doing. I pray that lives will continue to be changed, and we'll give you the glory for it all. We ask in your Son's name. Amen.